Well, good morning. Are you excited to be in church this morning? Good, I am too. I am the youth pastor here. I'm not the pastor. I work with the teenagers in our church, and I'll tell you what, we have an amazing group of teenagers. I have the best job ever. I just want to tell you a little bit about what's going on with our youth group. I mean, we have been growing and growing. Every single week, it seems like we just have more and more young people coming in. This last Wednesday night, we had one young lady give her heart to Jesus, and just, I never get tired of seeing that. You know, it's just an exciting thing in our youth ministry, and we have a lot of young people that love Jesus. I love our worship time in our youth, as we just watch them all pour their heart into God and setting up the rest of their life serving Him. Well, are you okay with having a little fun this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm okay with that. Y'all don't sound okay with that. Okay. Do you know what this is? A remote control. Yeah, some of you know. I'm okay with talking. I have teenagers in the audience usually, so they talk when they're not supposed to. So especially when you're supposed to, it's okay. So this is a remote control, and you know what it does. It controls things. I'm 30. I still have toys. It's all right. Toys have gotten cooler since I've gotten older, so I have to keep up. But yeah, a remote control enables you to control something. So like I have my toy here, and there we go. So with a remote control, I can make it go to the ground. I can make it go to the ceiling. I can make it go up and down. I can crash it like that. You know, I can do all kinds of things. With a remote, you can take it. I mean, you used to have cars when I was a kid, make it go wherever you want. But with a remote control, you can take something, you make it go where you want it to go. If I gave this to you, some of you would be really good. You'd be flying around this better than me. Some of you would be crashing into people's heads and be tangling out of their hair and all that, you know. So it kind of depends on, you know, how you are with that. But you probably experienced or played with a controller before. This is probably one that you use much more regularly than that. Anybody use one of these? Every day, right? You got your TV remote. This is actually my TV remote, so I better take it home, otherwise I'll be looking for it for hours. But, you know, you come home and you turn on and you... Now, when I was a kid, though, we fought over who had this, you know? We sat on the couch, my turn, no, because whoever had this picked the show, right? You pick what you watch. And not only that, but there was at least one person in my house, I'm not going to say who, was the flipper. And anytime it was on a commercial break, they'd start changing, and you're like, we're going to miss the show. You got to get back. We've been too long. Anybody else experience that? Okay, but anyways, you got your controller, and that, you know, whoever has that is in control of what we watch. It's important. But what we fought over even more when I was a kid was this. This is the actual remote. This right here. Super Nintendo. Did anybody have one of these? Okay, Mario Brothers was what we played. And man, we would fight over this because whoever had it got to play. And it would be the whole, it's my turn, you already had it. No. You know, parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. And so we would fight over this because whoever has the control, you know, gets to control the game, gets to play. So why am I talking about controls? Because I do have a question for you this morning, and that is this. Who has the controller of your life? Who, or in some cases, what is influencing the direction that you go in your life? And this is an important question. And the reason it's an important question is because if I'm playing Super Mario Brothers and I make Mario fall down the hole, I just hit reset, I'm good, I got another life, do it again, right? If I'm playing with this helicopter and I'm, you know, flying around and I crash it into the floor, not a big deal, right? Because I just set it up and I can go again. If I break it, it's like $10. I can buy another one and get it on Amazon. 2 days later, I'm playing again, right? So that's not a big deal. However, if you crash in your life, that matters. That's a big deal. If your relationship with your spouse or with your kids or with your parents crash, that matters. If your finances crash, that matters. If person or who or what is directing your life takes you down the wrong path in the wrong direction, that matters. So we need to look at ourselves and look at our life and say, who or what is directing me? What is controlling me? Maybe not like, you know, physically controlling every action I make, but what is influencing the direction that I go in the areas and different areas in my life? Now, if you're like me and you're like most people, I can probably tell you what you're thinking, because this is what I think when I start thinking about this, and that is, well, I am in control. right? I'm in control of my life. It's me, okay? I'm making good decisions. I'm an adult. I'm intelligent. You know, I can make the decisions. I'm in control. And so this is something I like to call, I came up with my own terms for it. I call it I control. I control. Now, this is not a new Apple product, okay? Kind of maybe that would be cool. I'm sure it'd be awesome. But I control. This is where I think I am in control of my decisions, my life, my future. And it sounds great. I'm in control. It's me. But if we start to look at it, we start to find some problems really, really quickly. And I think that you will relate to these problems. For example, maybe you've done this like I have. I decided I was not going to do something anymore. I'm not going to do this. I am not going to do this ever again. 2 days later, right? Sometimes 2 hours later, I'm doing it again. Have you experienced this before? You decided. Now, this is what's weird to me. There will be something that I have decided to make my life better. I believe that doing this will make my life better. It could be as silly as, okay, I'm going to stop snoozing 10 times in the morning. I'm going to get up when the alarm goes off. It could be more like, hey, I'm going to start eating better and exercising. It could be a matter of something we believe is right and wrong. I've decided, you know, this is wrong to do, and I am not going to do it anymore because I know it's going to damage my life. I am not going to do this anymore. Now, I made a decision for me that's going to make my life better, and then what happened? I did it anyways. I didn't follow through. What is that? Because I control is not a very good control. I am pretty bad at controlling myself and making myself go down the right path, especially the path that the Lord has for me. I think maybe you've experienced that. There's a guy in the Bible who experienced that, and that's the Apostle Paul. Anybody bring your Bible? It is church? Yes, thank you. Okay, we got a couple Bibles. Turn to Romans chapter 7. I didn't know if you thought I was going to be reading something else this morning, but yeah, we're going to be in our Bibles in Romans chapter 7. Maybe the youth pastor doesn't use the Bible, I don't know. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, and he, I think, experienced the exact same thing, feelings about that we do because of what he writes. This passage, I absolutely love it because when I read it, I feel like the Apostle Paul understood me, like he got me, like he knew how I feel about things. And maybe as we read it, you will too. So let's take a look. Romans chapter 7. He says this, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Now, I don't know if you feel this anyway ever. Okay, I want to do this, but I don't. Okay, I don't want to do this, but I do. Do you ever experience that? I know I feel that. I feel that. I've experienced that exact same thing. Paul's saying, hey, I feel you. I do that too. I understand what you're going through. And he keeps going. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I just think about how many things that I have the desire to do, but I can't carry it out. See, some of you would say, hey, I have the desire to lose weight, okay? I have the desire to get my finances in order. Let's get a little more serious. I have the desire to not yell at my family anymore. I have the desire to not give in to that addiction anymore. I have the desire to keep my commitments to the Lord. I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't. I just feel like I can't because I control is not working very good. I feel like, I want to, but I can't. And he keeps going and he talks some more. He says this, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I had to practice reading this. It's very, same thing over and over again. Okay, it's tricky. Okay, anyways, he keeps going. He says, now, If I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. And here he begins to point out something that is extremely important that we need to know. He talks about this, there's sin living in me. A couple of verses ago we read, he said, talked about your sinful nature. Sometimes it's called your flesh. Sometimes it's called the old man. But he's saying there's something in me and that is sin. That is the reason I don't do what I want to do. Because when I live with eye control. It's not really eye control. I think I'm in control, but it's really sin control. Sin is really what takes control, and all of us are born with a sinful nature. All of us have a sinful nature, and if we let it, it becomes the controller in our life. Now, it comes out in a lot of different ways. This sin control, eye control, comes out in a lot of different ways. We'll talk about a few of them. Here's one, pride control. I like that big I in there. You know, well, I think and I say and, you know, I'm the head and I. And that pride comes out and controls and does things. How about this one? Emotion control. Does anybody know somebody who lets their emotions control them? Don't look at your spouse right now. You'll be in trouble. Okay. Anybody know somebody that let their emotions control them? They say things like this. Well, I just lost my temper. And everyone around's like, well, can you please find it? Because you're miserable to be around. Okay. I just lost my temper. What they're saying is my emotions took control. I couldn't help it. You know, they're such an idiot. I just came out of me. And all of a sudden, their emotions just come over. And a lot of us have experienced that. I want to be in control, but my emotions, they just take over. I sat down with a young man in the youth group one time, and he said to me, he said, I keep having these outbursts of anger. He says, I don't like yelling at people. And he says, I decide I'm never going to do it again. And then it comes out, and I'm yelling at somebody, and I hate that I do it. He recognized in himself that emotions were taking over and he was losing control of his emotions. And some of you maybe can say that you've experienced that with certain people. Your emotions take control. So many different ways that sin control comes out in our life. There's another big influencer that influences the direction of our life and I want to talk about. I call it they control. They control. Now, this is something I talk to with teenagers a lot, okay? So if you're a parent here and you got a teenager in the room, you can feel free as I talk about this right here to look at your teenager and go, now you need to listen right here, okay? But then while you're doing it, I just want you to notice there's still three fingers pointing back this way, okay? And just, okay, I need to hear this too maybe, okay? Because there's some times when we allow others to not control us like, okay, I'm their slave, I do whatever they say, but to influence the direction of our life. And we need to be aware where they may be influencing us away from the life that God has for us. Are y'all okay this morning? Y'all are much quieter than teenagers. It's kind of weird to me, but that's okay. I'll get used. That's why the pastor's always like, are you here this morning? Say something. Okay, I understand now. Okay, here's a verse that talks about they control us and give us three ways that we allow they to control us. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. Three big things here. Let me just talk about them briefly. Walk in the counsel of the wicked. I can't tell you how many times I'm listening to a teenager talk about the dating advice they got from another teenager. And I'm like, oh man, please don't listen to them. They're a moron, okay? I don't know if you can say moron in church, but anyway. Like, they're like, yes, but they've already dated 6 girls this year. They should know. I'm like, oh, okay. Don't listen to and walk in the counsel of people that are wicked, right? And we do the same thing, adults. I mean, I was listening to a guy, and he was asking someone for advice, and the guy was talking to, his nickname is Goose, and it was just, I don't know, anyway. And he said, now you listen, I have 3 ex-wives, I can tell you what to do. And then he proceeded to give the advice that I was like, no, don't be listening to that counsel. And, you know, you can't control what you hear, okay? But you can control what you listen to. You know the difference between hearing? I heard it, but you can control what goes into your heart and what you allow to influence the direction of your life. And you need to be aware when the people around you are speaking things that are against what God would have for you. And let that come through a filter that, hey, I'm not going to listen to that. I may have heard it, but I'm not going to listen to that. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners. Let me just give you a visual way of thinking about this. If you can imagine I'm walking down a sidewalk, okay? I have a sidewalk I'm going down. And let's say I'm walking towards a stadium football game, and the game ended. And the crowd is exiting, and now there are hundreds of people coming down this sidewalk that I was walking in the opposite direction. I've actually had something very similar to this happen to me. And I was walking, and I just stopped. And I was like, okay, because there's a huge mass of people. And I tried to just stand there, but I'll tell you exactly what happened. First, people started bumping into me. I'm like, hey, personal space, okay? And they keep, and just over and over again, I kept getting bumped and pushed, and I tried to go this way. And it's eventually, it's easier to just go, okay, never mind. I'm just going to go with you guys. I can't make it against. And the reason I say all that is because we have a tendency to, the people that we spend our life with, kind of go in the direction that they're going. You really believe that for your teenager. That's why you care so much about who their friends are. We tend to ignore it a little bit when it comes to our own life. I like to ask the teenagers this, and I'll ask you. Think about where you are, and think about the people that you spend the most time with outside of your family, okay? So let's say, here's your relationship with God. If you became like them, would your relationship with God be better? Or would your relationship with them, with God, be worse? If your marriage was like the people that you spend a lot of time with, your marriage was like their marriage, would you have a better marriage, or would your marriage be worse? Because we need to look and see the people that are around us, because we tend to go in the directions that they're going if we're not careful. It doesn't have to be that way. We're going to talk about the other option. But you need to be aware when you are allowing people to influence the direction of your life. There's one more. He says, sit in the seat of mockers. Now, this one kind of takes me to the next thing we're going to talk about. This is kind of where they control becomes the next thing, which is fear control. And let me kind of explain how that works. There was a time in college, I can remember specifically, that I was hanging out with some people, and they begin to engage in an activity that I did not want to be a part of. Maybe you've been in a similar situation. They were doing stuff that I didn't want to do. And so, I mean, I wasn't going to participate, but I also just wanted to leave. I didn't want to be there. I just wanted to get out. And as I was thinking about getting up and leaving this fear, I guess I would say, of being mocked, came over. Young people, you can probably experience this. You've probably experienced this. You don't want people, oh, you know, he's just that goody-goody Christian guy. And hear all that. And all of a sudden, this fear began to come over and keep me from making the right decision. Now, certainly in that area, but in how many areas of our life do we allow fear to control our actions? Do you know that fear is part of your sinful nature? Did you know that Jesus commanded, do not be afraid? The same as he commanded, do not murder and do not lie and do not steal. He commanded, do not be afraid. Fear is part of our sinful nature. It comes from that side of us, and it is a controller that if we allow it to, will take us in the wrong direction. We'll make wrong decisions because of fear in our life. It's part of our sinful nature. I could probably talk all morning about different aspects of our sinful nature that control us. We could talk about jealousy control, greed control, anger control, and we could elaborate on and on and on about all these different things that we allow to control, but instead, I want to talk about the other option, what God offers us to have instead of all of this sin control, eye control kind of stuff, and it's found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 7 kind of gives us the problem. Romans chapter 8 gives us the solution, so we're going to take a look in Romans chapter 8, and what we're going to see is this, spirit control. There's eye control, sin control, and there is spirit control. Let me show you. This is what it says. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You can't even please yourself most of the time, you know? I can't even please myself, much less can I please God when I'm controlled by my sinful nature. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. This is really good news. He's saying that, hey, you do not have to be controlled by your addiction any longer. You do not have to be controlled by your fear any longer. You do not have to be controlled by that worry anymore. You don't have to be controlled by that lust anymore. There's something else that can be your controller, and that is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will come in and help and lead and guide you as a believer. So I want to give you a picture of what a Spirit-controlled, a Spirit-led life looks like. Okay, so let's take a look. It's in Galatians chapter 5. Paul wrote Romans, he wrote Galatians, and he talks about the same thing. In fact, some of what he says sounds the same. And so he's going to talk about a spirit-led life, and I want to show you what is available to you if you will receive it. So I say, live by the Spirit. It's a choice to live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. And here's that, I don't do what I want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do thing again. He says they're in conflict with one another. I want you to understand your sinful nature and the Spirit are going to be in conflict with each other. They're going to try to take you in different directions. Now, in some ways, your flesh and the Spirit want some things similar, the same. Your flesh wants to be happy. You want to be happy whether you're led by the Spirit or not. The Spirit wants you to be happy. Happy are the people whose God is Lord, is what the Bible says. However, the path that they take to get you there is going to be different. And one is a lie and is not actually going to lead you to being happy. And one is the truth and will take you there. Because your spirit, your sinful nature is led by the enemy, and the Spirit is led by your Heavenly Father who loves you. And so they're going to say, no, this is what you should do to be happy. This is what you should do to have peace. But the Spirit is going to be in conflict. So you can expect that inside of yourself. You're going to feel a conflict. Now, I'm going to show you the next part here, and it's going to give you a picture, like I said, of what a Spirit-led life looks like. But first, I want to show you something. I want to see if you know what this is. What kind of a tree is this? Nobody knows, like three people. What kind of a tree? Apple tree. Yeah, you can see the fruit. Because it has that fruit, it's an apple tree. You don't even have to see the whole tree to know. If you see the apples, you know. What kind of a tree is this? Orange. Good. This is an orange tree. You can tell because of its fruit. Now, let me show you the fruit that the Spirit will produce in you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is a picture of a Spirit-led life. This is what the Spirit wants to produce in you. And I don't see a single thing on this list I don't want. Well, yeah, love, I just don't want any love, okay? Peace, whatever, I like stress. No. Joy, no, I like being miserable, making everybody around me miserable. That's just my thing, okay? No. Self-control, no, I just like to go wild and just see what happens, let my life fall apart. None of us would say no to these things. We want these things. You want these things in your spouse, don't you? When your spouse goes on a business trip, you want them to have faithfulness as something the Spirit produces in self-control. We want parents, our kids, students want their parents to have patience when they act stupid, okay? They hope that these things are produced in you. We want these in the people around us, and we need them in our life. But I want you to notice, it doesn't say the fruit of Jonathan, okay? It's not the fruit of Tracy. It's not the fruit of fill in your name, okay? It is the fruit of the Spirit. This is something that he produces. It's not something that I just try really hard and I manage to produce. See, an apple tree could sit here and go, I want to make oranges all day, and it's never going to make an orange, okay? I could sit here and just say, okay, I'm going to have peace. Why don't I have peace? I got to try harder. I don't understand why I don't have self-control. I'm trying as hard as I can to have self-control. This is produced in the person who lets the Spirit lead their life. It's not produced because I'm just so, I'm so good. I have such good eye control. See, that's what I need. I need better eye control. I need to be more in control of myself, and that way I can just produce these things myself. No, the Holy Spirit produces this in the life of the person who puts him in control of their life, who puts the Holy Spirit, lets him lead and guide them. You say, but I don't see these in my life. I'm not experiencing that in my life. This is what he says in verse 25 of the same chapter. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Another translation says it like this, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In other words, the Holy Spirit, he's not going to take the controller, right, and go, all right, here you go, and then you're just going to be like, okay, I will follow you, Holy Spirit, okay? It's not like that. He doesn't just take control over you and take away your will and make you follow him. But what he does do is he leads. And then we choose to keep in step, to follow with him as he goes. So maybe it works kind of like this. You have a young person who's dating and they're struggling with lust in the relationship and they say, Holy Spirit, I need your self-control. I need you to help me. And so the Holy Spirit says, yeah, come with me, follow me. Now, that relationship is the wrong one for you. I need you to get out of that relationship. No, Holy Spirit, I don't think so. We're in love, okay? And you can't stop our love and nothing can stop it. All I want you to do, Holy Spirit, is to, when I get in the back seat of the car with her, I just want the lust to go away. I just want to be able to be there with her in the moment and no lust, no desire for anything wrong. And he's over here going, okay, no, that's not how it works, okay? You follow me, and I will give you self-control. Oh, and you said you wanted love. Did you not realize love is kind of my deal, okay? I will lead you to love, but you need to follow me, and you need to let me direct you. Now, it's easy to look at teenagers and go, yeah, okay, y'all listen. Well, let's think about this. Maybe you're saying, I just need joy. I don't have joy. You say, Holy Spirit, fill me with your joy. And he says, okay, come with me. I will lead you to joy, but I need you to forgive her for what she said. I don't think so. I don't know how they do that. The girls do it sometimes. I don't think so, okay? You don't know what she said to me. You don't know what she did, okay? And you can't forgive that because then it makes it like it's right. No, I'm not going to do that. And the Holy Spirit's going, I want to give you joy. But as long as you won't follow me and listen to my direction, you're not going to have joy. You got to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We say, oh, but can't he just rain it down, Spirit, rain down peace on me. He's like, I will. Follow me. Follow my direction. And I'll give you joy. I'll give you peace. I'll give you all these things that we're reading here. But we have to keep in step with the Spirit. So we say, you might ask, how do I know I have the Spirit? That's a good question. I'm glad that you asked me that. This is what Jesus said. Luke 11:13. If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It is the same way that you receive Jesus. It's the same way you receive anything from him. You ask in faith and believe the Holy Spirit is going to come and begin to guide your life. You need to ask him, Holy Spirit, fill me and guide me. You ask him, and then you know you have the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you when you ask. You might say, okay, well, how do I listen to him? Good question. Y'all have really good questions this morning. I'm glad that you asked. Let me show you that. Let's talk about that. Here we're talking about in Ephesians 6, he's talking about things that we use to fight against the enemy. And he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let me ask you a question. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's in yellow, okay, so you wouldn't miss it. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now, the sword, that is his weapon. The weapon that he uses to defeat the enemy in your life, to take down your sinful nature. The Holy Spirit will speak to you through God's word. So when you read his word, what you need to do, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through it. Don't just read it. I just read it. I did my job as a Christianly job. I read my Bible. No, read it and then say, Holy Spirit, what did you want to say to me today? And allow him to begin to speak to you, and he will. I'm not saying every time you read your Bible, you're going to have this glorious Holy Ghost moment where you're like, oh, I felt it. I know what I'm supposed to do now, but yet he will speak to you. I've been in a service before where I felt like the minister, there was like this one sentence that he said. It was like God gave him that sentence for me. And the Holy Spirit spoke through a minister. And you need to come, and when you are in a service, and we get to the end, instead of thinking, okay, I got lunch, I got to go here, I got to do, think, Holy Spirit, what did you want to say to me today? And ask him. Let him speak to you through his word. He speaks to us through his word, and he will speak to our hearts. In the next verse, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You need to begin to pray and ask the Spirit to speak to you. It says, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. Everything that I'm praying about, everything that I'm requesting, I need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. If it's something to do with my marriage, if it's something to do with my job, if it's something to do with an emotion thing, whatever it is, I need to pray, whether I'm praying in the spiritual language or I'm praying and I'm asking the Father to the Spirit to guide me and lead me. And He will speak to your heart and He will direct you. Let me just clarify one thing though. I want to make sure, because I've heard some really crazy stuff. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God, ever. If you think the Holy Spirit told you something that is not in the Word of God or that is against the Word of God, you heard wrong. I mean, I've heard all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, the Holy Spirit, I just feel like He told me I don't have to forgive Him. Nope, He didn't say that. Well, yeah, I feel it really strongly in my inside. I don't know what you feel. Maybe you ate too many breakfast burritos from Taco Bell and you got a little thing going on, but it's not the Spirit talking to you. I don't know what you're feeling, but if it's against the Word of God, it is not the Holy Spirit. When you hear from the Holy Spirit, look to the Word of God and make sure it lines up. And He will speak to you. He'll speak to your heart and He'll speak to you through the Word of God, and you will learn His voice. It is a learned thing. As you begin to pursue Him, it'll become clearer and clearer, and you will hear Him throughout your day. I want to show you one more verse. We're back in Romans 8 now. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. See, when you wake up in the morning and your mind just begins to go to all those things that you got to do today, and the worry starts to come in, oh, I gotta get this done, or the different things that start to take over. What if instead, when you got up in the morning, you set your mind on the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, lead me today. Guide me today. See, the Lord began to deal with me. I've been studying this for a few days now, getting ready, and I realized that I tend to try to just live eye control. I mean, I read my Bible every day and I pray, but I still just try to, figure it out. And He says, hey, you need to do this too. And I've been trying the last few days. Every morning I get up and I say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. And you know what else? You know what your struggles are going to be most of the time. I mean, you know if you struggle with anger. You know if you struggle with lust. You know if you have a fear control in your life. So when you get up, why don't you just give it to the Holy Spirit the first thing every morning? What if every morning you began your day with, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me and help me to not be overcome by anger. Don't allow it to be my control today. And you started every day with that. I think there'd be a change in your life. I know there'd be a change in your life if you begin to let Him control and to lead. Imagine your family, if you were full of these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, if patience became something that was in you that was so strong, that the thing you decided, I don't want to yell anymore, I don't want to let my anger just take over when I'm with my kids, the Holy Spirit, take it away if you'll begin to let Him control. Think how your family would be different. See, some of your kids, they really wish you had joy, because they come home and you're not happy and you're always in a bad mood, and they don't want to come home because their home isn't full of joy. It can be if you let the Spirit lead you and take away all that stuff that is filling your house with something other than joy and peace. He will lead you and guide you, but you have to let Him take control. Young man that struggles with lust, when you get on your computer, imagine that the Holy Spirit has filled you with His self-control. And you can get on the computer and you don't even think about clicking on those websites that you go to anymore, because He's given you the strength to overcome that self-control or that lust. Let the Spirit lead you and guide you in your life. We're going to sing a song. It's called Holy Spirit. And in the chorus of the song, it says this: Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Now, as we sing it, I want to ask you to do something. Make that a prayer for you today. And don't just pray, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here in this church building, but think of it like this: Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my home. I want you in my home. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my car. Some of us need some peace when we're on that road with all the idiots, right? That's the way I feel. Holy Spirit, give me peace. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life, and I want you to lead and guide me every single day. Take me, take control, and lead me where you want me to go as we sing this. I want you to pray that. Don't be in a hurry. It's still early. And so what we're going to do is we're gonna sing, and there's going to be people down front. If you are sitting there and you're going, I don't even know if I have the Holy Spirit leading me at all, I want to encourage you, come let somebody pray for you. Believe the Holy Spirit's going to fill you and lead you every day. If you need prayer for anything in your life, anything that's going on, that's what these people are for, and that's what this time is for, to pray with you, to believe with you. But as we sing, even if you stay where you are, I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to begin to lead and guide you. I'm going to pray over all of us. When I say amen, that's when we'll stand. And if you want prayer, that's when you come forward. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and shows us where to go. It fills us with your Holy, with your Spirit, and that gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I thank you that we don't have to give in to fear and sin and other things in our life, but your Spirit will lead us and guide us to where we need to go. I pray that every person here will allow your Holy Spirit control in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing part of one song. If you need prayer, this is the time when you come forward. Our prayer partners are coming. If you would like prayer, come. Let's sing together.